the work should not be on the individual to figure out how to be healthy. We should show up for them to show them in all ways how to be healthy, whether it's movement, whether it's eating, whether it's sleeping, whether it's, you know, if you got to see a doctor, then why should you have to see four different specialists and then have to like navigate this very difficult system to get all this coordinated care?
Welcome to the Spartan DECA series on Spartan Up with Jared Cogswell, Director of Sport, and Yancey Culp, Director of Programming.
All right, folks, episode two with Marcus Philly. The guy that was on the path to becoming the doctor brings up how important it is to have good bedside manner as a fitness coach. Listen, stay tuned for this one because Marcus talks about, you know, we talk about living a life fueled by fitness. And it's not just about being able to squat well and be a good mover and know how to program and everything. It's about winning the caring game. Marcus says it a little differently than we do at DECA, but we could tell he speaks the same language as us. Let's go!
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by FitAid and Honey Stinger. Race dirty, recover clean with FitAid or FitAid Zero Sugar. Visit forthefitaid.com now and sign up to win an amazing grand prize package from FitAid and Spartan. Monthly Spartan prize packs and more. FitAid, recover as hard as you race. Honey Stinger, made with organic honey and delicious ingredients. Use the code HSSpartan2020 at honeystinger.com to save 30% off.
So, paint the picture of what you dive into coaching. What does that look like very early on in Marcus's coaching career? Had you done any? Did you dabble with coaching in college?
Yeah, I was. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I thought of myself as a coach before I ever stepped foot in a fitness gym, because I coached a lot of things. I mean, I coached one. I was like I taught a lot in college, through classes, through, you know, study groups, being a tutor, you know, teaching was to me the equivalent to coaching. It was just, when you coach, you're just teaching people in movement, and then I'm teaching people chemistry and teaching people biology. It was a lot of the same stuff. Coached a ton of soccer, over the years, from when I was in high school, still I coach young kids, and then all the way through college I coach high school kids, and then post college I coach the high school teams. So I was very engaged in coaching the sport of soccer. My first kind of go at fitness coaching was sort of friends and family that were like, "Well, dude, you're great. Like, show me some stuff," you know. But I always looked up to fitness professionals and people that were coaching as like, wow, they're, you know, I kind of had created this hierarchy that I wasn't there yet. And so I didn't give myself a real opportunity to go and coach fitness. Cause I just didn't think I'd put in the time, but I put in the time, you know, I knew more than most people. It was just a confidence thing. I already mentioned that when it came to being a competitive athlete. So yeah. Once I left medical school, like I had this like background of teaching, knowledge, coaching. But I didn't just be like, I'm going right into coaching. It was like, there was a 3 to 6 month period of sort of like, okay, I gotta refine my footing. Like, I'm rocked. I just got rocked big time. And I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself, you know? And I also didn't want to be sitting around the house either. So I went and got a job as a, you know, at the coffee shop, and I was a barista for a while, you know, going and taking CrossFit classes, going and doing my shift at the coffee shop, living at my parents, getting settled.
What year were you, Marcus, the barista?
I was 2008, 2009. Yeah.
So what CrossFit box or coach, or what sparked the interest? Like, your very first interest in CrossFit?
Yeah, I got my first interest in CrossFit actually before I went to medical school. I was doing a lot of fitness around here at the local gym, and there were some there was just a group of trainers and members We all kind of hung together. We took the same fitness classes. We were all in great shape. You know, it wasn't CrossFit. It was, you know, sports performance, core challenge, whatever. Like, I didn't do body pump, but I did a lot of the other classes, you know, at the gym. Plus I did lifting, and I was just looking for community, looking for people. And then these people loved to golf. Fuck, I was a good golfer, so I fit right in there. We would golf 3 or 4 times a week, you know, go out and get margaritas and have Mexican food on Friday night. It was fun. I was like, this is what I like this, you know. I could see myself doing this for a long time. And one of the gals that was training in our group, she lived down the street from a CrossFit gym in San Francisco. And at the time, none of us really knew what it was. It was 2007, maybe 2007, 2008. And she's like, come take this class with me. It's pretty cool. I was like, you got it. Like, I'm doing anything, whatever. And so we went, and, you know, the story goes, most people that have been connected to CrossFit know the name Kelly Starrett. They know the gym CrossFit San Francisco, or San Francisco CrossFit, excuse me. That happened to be the gym I dropped in at with her.
Wow.
And it was, and he was, you know, there was 2 teachers. He taught that class. And we were outdoors. It was in their little parking lot gym that was affiliated. And we did deadlifts and running. And we actually, it was a weekend, Saturday morning. So we'd walk the barbells down to the beach, and we did deadlifts on the beach, and we did sprints. And I was like, okay, this is pretty compelling. I like this. I was good at it. You know, I hung with the fit crew, and I went back for some more. And started to then poke around on the CrossFit.com website, consume as much content and information as I could. And then about 3 months later, I shipped out to 3 months later, I went on a trip that I had been planning for a long time to Southeast Asia. I had kind of saved a bunch of money and prepped myself for a 3 to 4 month backpacking trip right before medical school started. So I got into CrossFit, figured it out, went and traveled around Southeast Asia, and then started medical school. And so CrossFit was already in my head. So I was doing the guy doing little CrossFit workouts in his bungalow in Thailand, you know, and I was playing around with it, farting around with it in medical school at the gym on campus. And so when I left medical school, I was like, you know, I was now a year and a half invested in just learning as much as I could about the CrossFit community and the methodology. And it was growing at a pretty fast clip. You got to think, now this is 2008, 2009. This is the beginning of the explosion of the CrossFit box. Mm-hmm. So when I came back to my hometown, there were like 2 CrossFit gyms in the area. You know, Kelly's gym used to be the only one, but now another one popped up closer to my house. And so I went and, you know, said hey to the owner. I asked if I could, you know, join. And I struck up a deal to basically like exchange work for a membership, you know, like, can I fold towels for you, essentially? And, you know, I think the day that I walked into the gym and he put me through the baseline workout, I'm sure the thought went through his head, this kid's going to be, he's going to be a hell of a CrossFitter. He might be on our competitive team at some point. And I would say probably within a month, he was like, this kid could probably be the best coach in the whole gym. And then within probably 6 months, he was like, this guy could run a gym. If he wanted to, he could go open up his own gym right now. If I'm smart, he should become my partner and we should work together for a bunch of years to come. And that's how that all unfolded. So, and I, again, as the, you know, here's the theme through the conversation, is that I didn't have the confidence in myself to know, like, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to do. And I looked up to this gentleman and I was like, okay, I'm going to take his lead. I'm just going to, you know, this is a supportive environment for me to grow. And that's what I did for 6 years or 7 years, was I grew as a coach, I grew as a business owner, and I grew as an athlete, all inside the walls of this community, this local CrossFit box. until 2016 when I think I outgrew it. I outgrew it in a way that meant it was time for me to move on and start something of my own. It was also when I was going to retire from competitive CrossFit, most likely. And I was, you know, just gotten married and just we're having a baby. And so it was just, that was a big turning point for me. When this journey of like kind of becoming the CrossFit and the fitness coach and the athlete that I became all happened underneath that roof, you know, over here in Marin County.
I was, when I was in the military, I was stationed at, in Alameda. So I know your area. I know your area very well. I've seen a lot of your videos when you're up there by the Golden Gate and everything. And that's, I enjoyed those 3.5 years when I was there.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Honey Stinger. Honey Stinger is made with organic honey and delicious ingredients. Honey Stinger's waffles, energy chews, gels, and bars give you the fuel you need to push harder, go further, do all the things that we do as Spartans. For training and racing, you need convenient nutrition that tastes great and works. Honey Stinger is Spartan's official on-course nutrition. It's made with real honey. Honey Stinger started with a simple plan: wholesome ingredients, great taste, and, of course, honey. Why does Honey Stinger use honey? Using an ingredient engineered by nature, not in a laboratory, it has its benefits. In fact, the less you mess with Mother Nature, the better. That's why they're committed to the True Source Honey Pledge. And they've got a special code just for our audience. You can save 30% with the code HSSpartan2020. That's HSSpartan2020 at honeystinger.com to save 30% off, just for our Spartan Up podcast listeners. Why do you race? For the glory? For the honor? For the Fit Aid? Each ice-cold can of Fit Aid and Fit Aid Zero Sugar has ingredients to help your body recover, like BCAAs, glucosamine, turmeric, electrolytes, and omega-3s. Fit Aid doesn't have artificial flavors or sweeteners. That's why Spartan loves it. In fact, Fit Aid is at every Spartan race finish line. It's the perfect recovery for your active lifestyle. It's 45 calories, it's non-GMO tested, vegan, paleo-friendly, and certified gluten-free, kosher, and it never contains any artificial colors, flavors, sweeteners, or sodium. And now Fit Aid has a zero sugar option. It's keto-friendly and only 5 calories. It's sweetened with monk fruit and stevia, natural stuff. Can you imagine drinking a soda when you could have this after a race, after the gym, hiking, or biking? That's why Fit Aid is an official partner of the U.S. Spartan Race Series, right? They're at every finish line. So grab a can at the finish line, but then you're going to want more at home. So head over to drinkfitaid.com and find out about their low-calorie, zero-sugar recovery blends. That's drinkfitaid.com.
Having a career in fitness myself, I remember my very first job as a personal trainer at the YMCA in San Diego, 1996. Nice. And I remember after 3 to 4 days of coaching, I was like, wait a second here. And I'd had various jobs. I was actually a general manager as a contractor on Camp Pendleton. And I'm moving and shaking in the corporate world, but I'm finding myself falling in love with fitness. And I remember the day I said, this is a career that you can't fake it. You have to genuinely freaking love this, or you will never make it in the world of fitness. And I you know, when I'm coaching a fit pro now, it's like one of the, it's a 20 something. I'm like, do you cherish this? Do you cherish fitness? Do you cherish and passionately love the opportunity to serve somebody, utilizing your skills and utilizing the world of fitness and teaching people, you know, what it means to live a life fueled by fitness? I watched every one of your awakening videos, and I just dug through all your language, and I was like, Jared, my co-host, I said, Jared, this guy speaks our freaking language, dude. You know, we talk about winning the caring game, celebrating fitness, working fitness into your life, so it fits into your lifestyle long term. And of course, we all use different language, but talk to me about, at what point did you start speaking that language? And at what point did you say that you know, that's going to become a part of my fabric? Or maybe it was in the early years, but maybe who were some of your big influencers? Like, what molded you into the coach that you are today? Which I feel, with what I've learned, all the research ideas, like, that's what you got to be to truly make it in this world.
Hmm. Well, thanks. That's a huge, it feels like such a huge compliment. I appreciate that. And this was woven into the fabric of me as a person before CrossFit ever happened. I wrote a personal statement in 2006 rather. This was the process by which you apply to the medical school, the U.S. medical system. You apply. There's a single application that gets sent out to whatever universities or schools you want to attend. You have to have obviously MCAT scores, which is the in a medical standardized test, medical school standardized test. You need to have your grades. You need to have your extracurriculars, and then you have to have a personal statement. And the personal statement is more or less the prompt is, why do you want to be a doctor? And in that was like a lot of this language and a lot of this vision of like, you know, I want to serve the whole complete person and see that they can, like, it should not be, the work should not be on the individual to figure out how to be healthy. We should show up for them to show them in all ways how to be healthy, whether it's movement, whether it's eating, whether it's sleeping, whether it's, you know, if you got to see a doctor, then why should you have to see four different specialists and then have to like navigate this very difficult system to get all this coordinated care, right? Like, it just didn't, I saw something that was like, I want to show up for people and help them deliver, like increase their lifespan, health span, right? Mm-hmm. So to speak. And I kind of saw that as like what I did with, you know, and then it was like, that's the kind of energy I carried into like my soccer coaching. And it was like, you know, then when I was tutoring kids, it was like, okay, well, why aren't you getting your work done? Like, you're a smart kid. Like, what's going on in your life? What, you know, what do you want to be doing instead? Like, you know, I'm trying to teach this kid, you know, SAT math. I'm like, I don't need to be teaching you SAT math right now. Like, we need to be talking about what is going on with your girlfriend, because you're not paying attention to me right now at all. Like, I'm never going to be able to teach you these basic skills when you're thinking about all these other things. I don't care what your parents are paying me for. So sort of like saw that. And then when I got into the gym, you know, it was like, okay, let's just, I realize there's a whole lot of skills you have to have as a fitness professional. But the one that was closest and most present was like, teach people how to move correctly. Right. And then that was it. Right. And then it was like, okay, I got that down. What's next? Okay. I got to assess people correctly. I'm trying to teach people how to move, but I never assess them. So I'm missing things that are making my job harder. And then it's like developing that, like, I want people to feel at ease when they're around me. It's constantly, you know, it's the bedside manner that I was trying to learn in medical school, or, you know, that people talk so much about as like to be a good physician, you need to have good bedside manner. I'm like, you have to have bedside manner as a fitness professional too, if you're coaching people. So it was like always just like, what are the things that encompass, you know, good fitness coaching skills? And you're right, like something you said really hit home with me, which is like, if you don't have a deep passion for this, you don't belong in this industry, so to speak. I kind of paraphrase what you said and probably translated it incorrectly, but there's some truth to that, which is, because the way the industry was set up for so many years, it was just a bad business model for most people. Like, there's not a lot of, you know, it's, you could be a good trainer and you could still not make it, because you're not earning a good enough living, you know? So it's kind of that feeling of like, you got to love this, because you're not going to be rich. So you better love what you're doing. And it was a kind of an interesting way to kind of weed out the people that didn't really love it. But nowadays it's sad, because you've got somebody who's passionate, who's got a good skill set to do this, and they're still not making a good living. And then they wash out of the industry. And that for me really didn't sit well. It doesn't sit well still, because I have a company and a business where we employ coaches that care. And I've seen them light up for the right reasons around client success, and they want to do it for the right reasons. And they also want to have their own lives that, you know, mature and develop in the way that somebody who's like middle to lower end of the corporate world is capable of doing, because there's an economics set up that supports it, you know, whereas in fitness, it's often isn't set up for people. So I know that's not where you were headed with this, but it's something that definitely comes to mind where I'm like, yeah, you got to be in it for the right reason. Hopefully you can cultivate that over years of understanding the big picture of how your health is connected to so many different things, not just correct squatting mechanics. But then once you develop that passion and that kind of well-rounded toolbox, toolkit for delivering coaching, how do you make that a career?
Yeah.
And really, and a career is like something that lasts longer than, you know, a decade, right? It's like, I don't think if you're in it for 3 years and then you move on to the next thing, I wouldn't say, oh, I had a career in fitness. It's like, no, you tried it and the system didn't support you, and that sucks.
Yeah. I always say that, we can't rely on the government to fix the problem. We can't rely on really and truly. And the eternal optimist in me says, you know what? It's on us to crack the code. And I kind of feel like you and I have probably walked mentally through a lot of similar paths. And the fact that every day I wake up passionate about is there something I can do a little different today to crack that code to where, if I can spark the interest of one more person to realize the amazing benefits that happen, maybe you haven't been taking care of what I call the beautiful machine, but it's this allows us to do every freaking thing we do, serve ourselves, serve our family, serve those around us, provide. And hopefully when we wake up, and we're 50, 60, 70 years old, to still be able to say yes to the things that we would like to be doing. And too often, too many people are saying no, because the body is shutting down on them way, way too early. So in a way, it the onus is on us, all the fitness coaches out there. Is like, good, nobody else is going to fix the problem. Let's take ownership ourselves. And what can we do today to make it better? And you know, our podcast is the DECA series, and kind of like CrossFit. You know, Spartan, who I work for, created arguably one of the largest fitness movements the world's ever seen. And because of movements like CrossFit and Spartan and things that you and I and other coaches do, millions of people are slowly becoming a little better version of themselves. And it's, you know, you only get a small time on this beautiful rock of ours. And it's amazing how we can use our bodies to travel this planet and enjoy this planet when we keep ourselves fit and capable of using this machine. We always like to ask this question, ma'am. What is that, the rock that hasn't been turned over yet? The thing that we haven't quite mastered yet to say, to wake up a larger percentage of the world. I mean, if what's that one thing, man, that if you could snap your fingers and make happen right now, what would it be? In the world of improving the fitness culture nationwide, worldwide. Give us something that we can start working on today.
Well, it would be a big monumental shift in consciousness around what success actually means in fitness. And it's a huge, huge, huge hurdle, huge obstacle. Success for most individuals looks like something in the here and now when it comes to fitness. How thin am I today? How ripped am I today? How strong am I today? How good was my workout today? Did I hit my macros today? Did I eat the thing today? And to say, did what I just do today, is that setting me up to be as healthy, fit, badass as I want to be 30 years from now? Did I just put, as my buddy Ben Patrick likes to say, did I just put money in the bank of my health and fitness? Or did I just take a withdrawal so that I could have a little taste of it right now. Mm-hmm. Right. And if we're all just go, if we all go, if we wake up each day and we just go and put money in the bank of our health and fitness, then guess what? You might not feel like you won the lottery today. You might not have the cash to go blow on something nice today, but in a year, in 2 years, that money is going to compound and you're going to be a f-ing savage. You're going to be so strong. You're going to be so confident. You're going to look so amazing. And once you have it, and once that money's compounding, guess what? It just keeps compounding. You don't just lose it overnight. So that's just a shift in consciousness that's gonna, it's gonna take time. You know, it's because there's a whole lot of marketing money and dollars and revenue to be made on the immediate withdrawal, health and fitness withdrawal. And we don't have a lot. We gotta, yeah. So that's it.
I know you gotta go. I think this is your cutoff time. I knew we were speaking the same language, and we don't say it the exact way, but your answer there really freaking fired me up, man. It truly is about, you know, is what I'm doing today, is it just going to be special today, or is it something like what Marcus or Yancey or any fit pro out there gave me? Is this something that I can sustain and work into my lifestyle long term? Yeah. And wake up 10 years now, I was like, you know what? That was just, I was good every day, but guess what? Now I'm great, and I'm a better version of myself because I call it like this: be a little selfish with your time every single day. Say, you know what? This is Yancey time. This is Marcus time. This is Lake time, and that little bit of time is going to add up over time. And by serving myself today, I'm going to be able to serve a lot of people down the road because I took care of myself. Listen, man, I wish I had a couple more hours to chat with you, brother. This is all kinds of stuff
we'll didn't get to cover. Do it another time.
I appreciate your authenticity and just your general love for fitness and willing to serve our community on in the Spartan Deca series. And much love from our entire family at Spartan, my friend.
Yeah, much love. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been great.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the DECA series on Spartan Up Podcast. Spartan Up is your partner in resilience for mind, body, and spirit. We're here 3 days every week. Tuesdays, you can find Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan, interviewing biohackers, business leaders, authors, and athletes. Thursdays and Saturdays, catch episodes from our DECA, Endurance, Trail, Combat, and La Ruta series. Do you know someone who needs a little nudge? Maybe they could use some motivation, tactics to be stronger, healthier, happier, more successful. Tell them about our show. And if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment. We want to know who's watching and who's listening. Thanks. See you next time. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by FitAid and Honey Stinger. Race dirty, recover clean with FitAid or FitAid Zero Sugar. Visit forthefitaid.com now and sign up to win an amazing grand prize package from FitAid and Spartan. Monthly Spartan prize packs and more. FitAid. Recover as hard as you race. Honey Stinger, made with organic honey and delicious ingredients. Use the code HSSpartan2020 at honeystinger.com to save 30% off.